I would like you to turn with us, please, to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 12. And before we consider the word of the Lord, let us now seek the help of the Lord, the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us all pray. Most loving and gracious eternal God, we rejoice that we're in thy house. We rejoice also that we're gathered around the word of God. And we thank thee for this infallible book, this God-breathed word. And, O Lord, we ask for the help of the Spirit of the Lord to open up the truth this day, and also to open our hearts to receive the truth. Grant us, Lord, a teachable spirit. Give us, Lord, the ears to hear. Give us the heart that is ready to receive the truth and ready to be taught. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be enable, Lord, to preach the word. And in preaching the word, that we might preach Christ. In the Savior's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. With the manifestation of the Spirit. That simply means that the Spirit of God manifested himself in the gifts that he gave to the church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And that is a key verse in our study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is a verse that is worth underlining. Last Lord's Day morning, we began our introduction to the subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We began by considering the Holy Spirit's power to give the spiritual gifts. Paul makes it very clear, even in our text, that the gifts of the Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit of God. He is the giver. That's what we noted last week, and that is important to get this into our mind, that the Spirit of God is the one who gives the gifts. Doesn't matter what anyone might say regarding an experience they may have had. If that experience is not in agreement with the Word of God, then that experience is not of God. The Spirit of the Lord is the one who gives the gifts, and they're listed there in verses 8, 9, and 10. We also pointed out that the gifts of the Spirit are also mentioned in other places in Scripture. And the Lord gives to every man as he will. It's not the will of man, but it is the will of the Holy Spirit. Some believe that we all need, every Christian needs one particular gift. And that we're missing out some way or other if we do not have that particular gift, namely the gift of tongues. We're supposed to be, they would tell us, less spiritual. We're not really spiritual if we do not have the gift of tongues. But here we find that all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Not as I will, not as you will, but as he will. Verse 11. So the gift of tongues or any other gift for that matter is not given by the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist or anyone else, but is given by the Holy Spirit alone. So we notice the giver. We also notice the gifts. We're all familiar with the word charismatic. Well, this is derived from the Greek word charisma, meaning gift or free gift. And the word gift, as we have it here in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12, the word there means grace, favor, or kindness. And so it is according to the grace, favor, and kindness of the Holy Spirit that the Christians were given these gifts. Nothing in them, but rather according to the grace, favor, and kindness of the Holy Spirit. So we know that the giver and the gifts, and then the generosity. Generosity of the Spirit of God. Because we are told in verse 7, our text, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And so every man, every believer has been given a gift. Not necessarily any one of the gifts mentioned here. But the Spirit of God has given to every believer a gift. That gift, of course, to be used to the glory of the Lord. So you and I, dear Christian, have been given a gift. Some have even been given more than one gift. Nevertheless, the Spirit of God has been most generous in giving to every man a spiritual gift. That's where we ended our study last week. The Spirit of God is the one who has the power to give these spiritual gifts. Now this morning we want to continue on in our introduction. And we want to look at the Holy Spirit's plan in giving spiritual gifts. We must keep in mind, as we pointed out last week, that the church at Corinth was made up of very immature, weak, and indeed fleshly Christians. They were not spiritual at all. But Paul says that in chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. He says, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual. I cannot address you as spiritual men and women, but as carnal. Or the word carnal there simply means fleshly. And so, the church at Corinth was not a spiritual church. We must keep that in mind. Because most of what Paul was saying and said in chapter 14, those words were not words of commendation, as the charismatics believe. The charismatics and all who believe in tongues speaking go to 1 Corinthians 14 and they quote words there and verses there as though Paul was commending the believers at Corinth, but he was not. He was correcting them. We will see that next week in the will of the Lord and in the course of our study. And so the fact that the church at Corinth was not a spiritual church and the believers there were not spiritual or mature, spiritually mature, that meant that they did not behave or conduct themselves in a very spiritual or Christ-like manner. That is why, as Paul points out, there were envying and strife and divisions amongst them. And this carnal behavior surrounded their attitude to the gifts of the Spirit. Some wanted the gifts which others had. And everyone seemed to have wanted one particular gift, namely, gift of speaking in tongues. They behaved like children. Paul said that's what they were. They were just spiritual children, and they behaved like children. If you give gifts of toys or whatever to, let's say, have a dozen little children, now you know what will happen. They'll all want somebody else's gift. They'll not play with the one that was given to them, but they'll want somebody else's. And the believers at Corinth were behaving like little children. That's why Paul, in the 13th chapter, in that chapter that he dealt with on charity or love, says in verse 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." The believers at Corinth had not matured, and they were still behaving like children. And that led to this envy and jealousy and strife and division. We must keep that in mind. That's what this church was all about in Corinth. Regarding the plan, Paul here takes time to set out for the believers in the church at Corinth to tell them that the Holy Spirit had a plan, that he gave to every man severally as he will. It wasn't by chance that each believer had a gift. The Spirit of God had a definite plan. And gave to every man severally as he will. This was the Spirit's chosen plan. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides which gift our gifts are given to each Christian. The choice of the gifts is not mine, nor yours, nor is it the church of or the choice of other Christians. It is the choice of God the Holy Spirit. So let us get away from the notion and the erroneous teaching that tells us every Christian should have the gift of tongues. That is erroneous. It is not taught in Scripture. Let us also get away from this false notion that if you don't speak in tongues, then you are somehow less spiritual than the person who does. And let us also get away from the lie, for that's what it is. The lie that tells us that if you speak in tongues today, it's a sign that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That is a lie. As we pointed out before, there are many great servants of God who were mightily used of God, who preached as men full of the Holy Ghost, and they never once spoke in tongues. So it's a lie. Always remember that the gifts were given to believers, not chosen by believers. Look at verse 8 of chapter 12. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another by the same Spirit, to another faith," etc., etc. The gifts were given, not chosen, by believers. Note as it hath pleased the Spirit of God, not as it pleased me or pleased any other believer. Not that it pleased me or my friends or someone else, but as it hath pleased him. It's according to the good pleasure of God that these gifts were given to individuals, dividing to every man severally as he will. As was said before, believer, you have been given a gift by the Spirit of God. It is up to you and to me to find out what that gift is, and then to use that gift to his glory and his honor. So it was the Spirit's chosen plan, the Spirit's clear plan. So much confusion today regarding this, the gifts of the Spirit, and there's no need to be any confusion. Because God is not the author of confusion. And when it comes to the teaching, with regard to the gifts of the Spirit, it is clear, it is plain. The apostle seeks to give the Corinthians a clear picture of the Holy Spirit's gift-giving plan. He does that there in verse 13, verses 13 to 20. You have the picture of the body. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body. That happened when we were regenerated. When the Spirit of God did a work in our hearts, regenerating our souls, we were saved by God's grace. It was at that moment we were baptized into the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You can see what Paul is getting at here and what he's dealing with. All the believers in the Corinthian church wanted the one gift. They all wanted to be able to speak in tongues. Paul says it's like the body. There are many different members to the one body. The body's not made up of one member. In other words, Paul says, you all cannot speak in tongues. Just as the body has different members, so you have different gifts in your church. This is what he's saying. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You can read down there to verse 20. You see, Paul is dealing here with a couple of issues. First of all, he's dealing with discouragement in the church. For there were those in the church who felt because they didn't have a certain gift, that gift being the gift of tongues, they felt that because they didn't have the gift of tongues, that they weren't part of the church, that they weren't part of the body of Christ, that maybe they weren't even saved. This is what Paul's dealing with here. He says the body is not one member. And he's saying to the church at Corinth, you don't have one gift only. Everybody can't have the one gift. But different gifts, as the body has different members. For as we said, there were those in the church who believed, been led to believe, because they didn't have the gift of tongues, they were no use. There was no place for them in the church, that they were useless. And Paul is saying here, don't be foolish, you're mistaken. Did he not say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren? They were ignorant. He says, each believer is part of the body of Christ, one body made up of different members. He says, if the foot is not the hand, does that mean that the foot is not part of the body? Of course, that's foolishness. If the ear is not the eye, does that mean the ear is not part of the body? It's foolishness. Likewise, if a Christian does not have the gift of tongues, does that mean that that Christian is not part of the body of Christ? It's foolishness. That's what he's teaching. He says God created the body with its members, and each member of the body serves a purpose. So the church is made up of individual believers that have received individual gifts, and every gift has been given for a purpose, to serve a purpose. And if they were all one member, where were the body? So the point he was making was, not every man is given the same gift. For he has said that in verses 8 to 10 and 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, to another, to another. So Paul makes that very clear. The different gifts are given to different believers, but all working together to further the cause of Christ. So no one need be discouraged, Paul is saying, because they don't have the same gift as someone else. Nobody needs to be discouraged because you haven't been given the gift of tongues. Rather, take the gift that God has given you and use it in the church, and use it to the glory of the Lord's name. That's what he was saying. That's why we're taking our time with this study. There's no point jumping into chapter 14. Because Paul takes chapter 12, 13 and 14 to deal with the subject. And that's what he's dealing with here in chapter 12. He was not only dealing with disappointment, but he was also dealing with defeatism. There were those in the Corinthian church who felt absolutely defeated. Once more, over the same issue. Some of the believers felt they were of no use to the Lord or his work because they had not been given the gift of tongues. Is that what we've been told today? You're less spiritual if you don't have the gift of tongues than the person who has. Is that what we've been taught and told today by those who believe that tongues is for today? Oh, you're not right with God. You're not a spiritual man. You don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not full of the Holy Ghost if you don't have the gift of tongues. That's what people are saying today, and preachers are teaching today, and that's what it was like in the church at Corinth. Same thing. There were those who were discouraged and defeated because they didn't have the gift of tongues. Paul tells them that every gift is necessary, no matter how feeble it may appear to be. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Why is Paul saying this? Because that's what was being taught, and that's how people felt in the church at Corinth. They were been told that by those who had the gift of tongues. Oh, you don't have the gift of tongues. You have one of those feeble gifts. We don't need you. It's obvious that's what Paul was addressing here. Verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Every member in the church is necessary. Every congregation needs every individual. Because every individual has a talent or a gift given to them by the Spirit of God that it can be used in the church. And every gift is necessary. You can't say to the person who has the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom, because it's a less spectacular gift, oh, we don't need you. What we really need is for everybody to have the gift of tongues. That's what Paul's addressing. That was erroneous. What the people believed was wrong. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. They were ignorant. They didn't know really what they were saying or what they were talking about. And Paul says there in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Why is he saying that? Because there were schisms in the church, that's why. Because the believers were not caring one for the other. They were so self-centered. And those who had the gift of tongues, they were boasting and proud and self-centered. And others were jealous because they didn't have the gift of tongues. That's what it's all about. Remember, it was a carnal church. You needn't expect spiritual behavior from believers that are carnal and fleshly. And this is what Paul had to address. And those gifts which some regarded are thought to be amongst the feeble and less honorable, the Lord bestowed upon them more honor. No doubt he was referring to the less spectacular gifts like the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Nothing very spectacular about that. And so those who had those gifts were despised. Yet we are told by some today that the most important gift of all is the gift of tongues. Not according to Holy Scripture. As we pointed out last week, the lists that we are given of the gifts, tongues comes last. In order of importance. Last. Not first. And then Paul highlights the Spirit's complete plan. You have the clear plan. It's clear. You can see it as like the body. Each member representing a gift. And all the gifts are used to further the cause of Christ, who is the head of the body. It's simple. Nothing complicated about it. The Spirit's complete plan. A proper understanding of the gifts of the Spirit would lead to unity, not divisions or schisms within the church. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Spirit of God gave these gifts for the church, and these gifts ought to have brought God's people together. But because of the carnality, the fleshliness, the lack of spirituality amongst the believers at Corinth, they were being divided. They were full of jealousy. And there were divisions amongst the believers at Corinth. Whenever someone should have been sorrowing, others should have been coming and sorrowing with them. When some were rejoicing, then the rest of the congregation should have rejoiced with them. So we can see the Holy Spirit's complete and perfect plan. And giving gifts unto men. That leads us now to consider, with regard to this introduction, finally the Spirit's purpose in giving the gifts. The Apostle made it clear why the Holy Spirit bestowed such gifts unto men. It's in our text. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The gifts were given that they may be used, and in the using of them, believers may profit from them. That's what it means. And so the gifts were given, the purpose of giving the spiritual gifts was to profit the church. Here Paul calls the gifts manifestations of the Spirit. And the gifts were given that they may be used to profit others. To profit with all. Paul uses another word when speaking about the purpose of the gifts. Look at chapter 14 and verse 26. Now it is then, brethren, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. The gifts were given to edify the church, to build up the believers in the church, to be used in the work of the church. We'll see that again in references, God willing, next week. But look at chapter 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. There's the word again. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. We'll deal with this next week. Paul is not commending the believers here in verses 3 and 4. He's criticizing them. The charismatics come and say, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. They say, there you are, there's the proof. They'll go and shut themselves into a room. And the next thing, they're babbling away in tongues, and they're babbling in some kind of language that they don't know what they're saying and they don't understand. And they say, oh, but Paul tells us this is what we're to do. We edify ourselves when we speak in tongues. Paul is not commending the believers in verse 4. He's criticizing them. And he's saying that the gift of tongues is to be used for the edification of the church. But he's saying some of you are using it just for your own benefit. He's saying that's wrong. Gift of tongues is to be used for the edification of the church. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and always remember the word unknown is in italics, so it's not in the original. So this isn't some kind of heavenly gift. our heavenly tongue that Paul's speaking about, contrary to what the charismatics tell us. They say, oh, we have a heavenly gift, and we speak in heavenly tongues. The word unknown is not in the original. And the word tongue is the word language. And so it was just plain ordinary languages that Paul's speaking about here. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue or language edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Paul said, the man that prophesies or preaches, he's not standing there edifying himself. He's edifying the church. That's what the gifts were for. To be used to that end. Look at verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edify the church. There's it again. The gifts were given to edify the church. Look at verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. That is, if someone spoke in an unknown tongue or in some foreign language, and there was a person in the meeting who didn't know that language, and the man spoke in a foreign tongue giving thanks, the person in the meeting who didn't understand the language wouldn't know when to say amen, because he didn't understand what the man was saying. But it wasn't a heavenly language, it was just a plain ordinary language. Missionaries today must go to Bible school and language school to learn the language to the people they're going to minister to. The charismatics claim to have the gift of tongues. Why do they send their missionaries to language school if they have the gift of languages? And so we can see the purpose was to profit the church, to edify, for the edification of the believers, for the edification of those who would hear the word. They were not given to the believers that they may become puffed up or proud or a reason for boasting. The gift of tongues wasn't given to individuals for them to go and shut themselves in a room and start rolling about the floor and babbling in an unknown tongue. Not the reason it was given. It's given to edify for the benefit of the work and ministry of the church. That is why the apostle delivered a message about love and charity, because there was envying and strife and divisions. And we read there in chapter 13 and verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. They were full of envy, jealousy, covetousness. Paul says, if you have charity, if you have true love in your heart, if you have the love of Christ in your heart, there'll be no envying that brother that has what you regard a more spectacular gift. You'll not be envying him. You'll be caring for him, praying for him. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Say, well, why did Paul have to say those things? Because there were those in the church who were puffed up, who envied others, who were jealous. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not self-centered, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I'm afraid the believers at Corinth didn't have a great deal of love for one another. They were split apart. They were jealous. There was strife. There were divisions. There were schisms. It all focused on this particular gift of tongues. They all wanted it. Paul says, you've all been given different gifts. Use them. It's interesting, the word prophet in verse 7 of chapter 12, our text. The word prophet there means to bring together. To bring together. The gifts were to be used to bring God's people together. The gifts were to be used to bring men to Christ. To bring together, not scatter, not divide. But to bring together, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to bring together. So the gifts were to be used for the profit of the church and also for the promotion of Christ. The promotion of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 12 verse 6, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. Christ is the head of the body. We come to the house of God on the Sabbath day. We come as members of the body to worship the head. To give glory to the head of the body. Namely Jesus Christ. That's why the gifts were given. For the spread of the gospel. The promotion of Christ. The extension of the kingdom. Nothing complicated in that. Nothing whatsoever. So every gift that is given to believers is to be used to promote Christ. To lift him up. And having been bought with a price, Paul tells us, glorify God in your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. We're to glorify God in our body. Because the body is not ours. We've been bought with a price. Christ has bought us with his own blood. We're not our own. Therefore, we are to give our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the gifts that the Lord has given to us by his Spirit, we're to use them to the glory of God and to the honor and the praise of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what chapters 12, 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians are all about. Magnifying Christ. And yet, how often have you heard those who place so much emphasis upon the gifts of the Spirit and primarily the gift of tongues, how often have you heard them talking about promoting Christ or reaching the lost for Christ? I don't believe I've ever heard them talk that way. It's all what they have. And what they must have. And it's all self-centered. The gifts were given to focus on Jesus Christ. And believer, whatever gift the Lord has given to you, please use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, we bless thee for the word of God. Lord, again, we know the word will never lead us astray. We know, dear Lord, that the word will guide us on a plain path because of our enemies. The word will never cause us to stumble, fall into error. We bless thee, our gracious Father, that thy word is truth. In this day of so much error and false teaching, false doctrine, and false prophets, we praise thee, Lord, that thy word is truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Write the word upon our hearts. Make us ready students of thy word. And Lord, do bless this study to the honor and the glory of thy great name. Amen.